I am really excited about today's episode because, well, should we just say who the guest is first?
I think we should say this because you guys have probably have seen his artwork, what he's about.
You probably don't know you know his, you may not know you know his stuff.
Yeah, but you've seen it for
you
sure.
You have. We both just stopped at the same time. I thought you were going to carry on. All right, today's guest is Eric Dowdle. And Eric is, first and foremost, he's a storyteller. But he's a traveler, he's a storyteller, he's an artist. And how we first came to know who he was through one of his forms of art, which has been turned into puzzles. And mm-hmm. you all have probably seen his puzzles. They're sold all across the country, all across the world. But he travels the world, meets people, learns about the place, and then makes these beautiful, like modern folk art is what he's calling it, modern folk art mm-hmm. pieces about each place. And they just tell a story. And they're so detailed and intricate that you're doing these puzzles and you're, it's, they're so fun. Like he just has this understanding of each place he goes to and you're just, it's so engaging.
Mm-hmm. And he, like you'll listen to this conversation. He's definitely the type of guy, he connects with a lot of people mm-hmm. through travel and he's genuinely fascinating. So yeah. when you hear the word puzzle, you may be like, ugh, puzzles. No, this is a different type of puzzle. And like, this is something that Eric's a really, really cool guy. And we're yeah. very fortunate that he even took the time to sit down and talk with us kind of about one, puzzle making, but two, his travels. And then like it dives more into that. So this is a really, really fun conversation. But before we get into this conversation, this is my favorite part of the entire episode. It's where we ask you to do something for us. And that's by going to iTunes and leaving us a review.
Or Spotify and leave us a rating.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah, you joined me in on this.
I know. I usually roll my eyes and then I give my one little line of give us a rating. Look, it does help. We do appreciate it.
It does.
All right. Wrap it up.
All right.
So, let's get to the conversation because this is a good one.
Yeah. Let's go. Eric. Thanks so much for being here because we're big fans of what you do. Not only, I mean, like you do a lot, but I feel like, and I may be overstating right now, but I feel like a lot of your artwork is in a lot of people's homes across America and probably the world, you know, but I feel like everybody has seen your artwork.
It's something that I wasn't even ready for to happen. I was just trying to feed my family. You know, you get up, you paint. You try and sell, you try and put things out. Sometimes you go into debt and you're like, how do I get out of debt? Well, I'm gonna have to grow the company. But it's just the same as what you guys are doing, what a chef does. If you're in the world of creativity, you're taking the talents you have that you may not even know you have and you're sharing them with people. And they're really not for your benefit. That's something that my mom taught me when I was young. So we get up in the morning and we're like, everything we do should be with the mindset of what we can do for somebody else. So that's what you're doing today. Yes, you're making a living, but you're giving people something to enjoy.
I like that.
Hopefully today it's enjoyable. I don't know.
No,
it is enjoyable. We do love it. We love it. Every minute of it. Well, most every minute.
So if I were in an elevator with you right now, I had no idea who you were, what you do, anything, and you...
You'd be staring at those numbers. You would not be looking at me because I was like, hey, do you want to talk? I'm that guy. Where are you from?
So what would, you know, you're that guy. All right, sweet. So what would you say? We're going up to the 17th floor. It's a little bit from the first. So like, what would you say? Like, who are you? What do you do?
Oh, so yeah, if I had 17 full floors, how could I get from the third grade on in that much time? No, because it all started in the third grade. I guess I would tell people I'm a storyteller. And kind of what I just told you, I love to interact with people. I'm fascinated by what they say and do. People might even call me critical, but I have a critical eye in the sense that I'm curious. And when I go into a city or a place, I want to tell a good story. And if you get to know the people of any town or place you go to, the better the story. You can take anybody, and it could be you in an elevator. I don't care what your job is. I would hope by the 17th floor, if I was asking the questions, I would know enough about you where I'm like, this guy's cool. This lady's smart mm-hmm. and interesting, or either way, there's something there. So that's not much of an elevator speech, but I tell stories to hopefully inspire people to live engaged lives and enjoy their and try and be happy. That sounds oversimplified, but that is true.
No, I love that. Yeah. And you said it started in the third grade. So what happened in the third grade that made you or brought you to where you are today?
Oh, it's just something to say, but I always look at, I can't remember much before the third grade. That's probably why I said
it. Okay. I wasn't sure. It was like a critical moment in third grade. You're like, this is it.
You know what is interesting about when you're young, you're doing what you're doing now, but you thought the way you're thinking now when you were in the third grade. You're still the same person. Figuring out why you're unique and different and then pursuing that. Because I always thought like an artist, but I thought everybody thought like an artist. I thought everybody thought the way I did. Maybe you felt the same way. So that's why I always look back and I'm going, this is what I'm supposed to do. Because I've always thought this way.
Mm-hmm. Has it always been painting for you, or have you dabbled in other forms of art?
Well, I love cooking. I'm not any good at it. I love all art. I really do. I like going to plays. I find theater engaging. I look at everything as art, and I really believe that. I try and teach my kids that. And I don't care if you're caulking in the bathroom or making a cabinet, mowing the lawn. Every piece of it, why are you doing it? Form and function. I mean, some things need to be done fast, but they still need to look good. Make something that's pleasing. I'm a little blown away where in the last 50, 60 years, we build stuff for function and we've left the beauty out of it. Why do we preserve the old houses? Because they build old houses to last and they're beautiful. The crown molding and the different varieties and interesting nooks and crannies that they built weren't even functional, but they're like, that's beautiful. And then we've got away from that a little bit. And economics have done that. Yes, we move into homes earlier nowadays. And so there's some benefits. I don't want to get overly critical of it. But I teach my kids, it's all math and it's all art. The math part, I usually lose them, so I stay in the art arena.
They must be artists too. Yeah. Math is never my
thing. Yes, let's talk about math today. We're going to talk about math.
Yeah.
I was so happy the day I was done with math forever. It's a great day. I hate math.
I remember my math teacher saying, you're never going to have a calculator on you, you know, in the real world. So you need to learn how to do this. And this is before the iPhone. You know, I'm just like, I wish I could go back and be like, how wrong you were.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I'm like, my phone does have a calculator. I still think in my head and I'm wrong.
So many of your pieces are about travel. And I know that you're working on like a 50 states kind of thing. Where have you been and what's your favorite place you've been in America? That might be a really loaded question.
I get asked quite a bit. So I have the answer ready.
Go for it.
So travel, here's why. So if you're going to paint, you want to paint something that somebody else will enjoy. And you need to like it also. So, I mean, I studied the masters. I love, that would be the style I would paint if I didn't care what people thought. For myself and for what I want to do, I would paint the masters. I would paint the old oil, outdoor, whatever. That's what I would do. But when I think of what I could sell and make a living doing, I fell in love with folk art when I moved to Boston. Folk art is great storytelling. And so when I started to go down that road, that's a small piece of the pie, though. Here's the slice for folk art. It's not very big. Here's realism, here's religious art, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to go. But it wasn't until I realized, you know, so what other big piece of the pie can I grab onto and paint in the folk style that will translate to economics and making a living? And that's where everybody, you ask them, what do they want to do when they get older? They want to travel. And if they can travel when they're young, they will. And I hadn't traveled hardly at all. When I first got married, my wife's like, I want to travel the world. I'm like, I have no desire. And I didn't until I went through some things, went out and had some experiences. I'm like, this is amazing. So when you combine folk art with travel and the storytelling side of it, it was so natural and so much fun. So to this point now where I've been pretty much to most countries and all states and all over the world, I love in that elevator, I'd go, hey, where's your favorite place in the world? Well, everybody likes to tell you where their favorite place in the world. You just asked me. I've got 10 of them. But yeah, that part is what drives the economics of what I do. Sometimes I get to pick the cities and places because I find them interesting, but I also look at what do people want. That's why I end up in Paris or New York or someplace unique. I've gotten to the point now where I'm looking for the next interesting place. Like Iceland has become very popular, and who would have thought that 20 years ago? And so I got to go to Iceland and do that. Your other question was, what's my favorite place? My mom had 12 kids, and I'd ask her, which one's your favorite child? I have 10 fingers. I wouldn't get rid of any. I'm like, yeah, but you have 12 kids. Two of them don't make it. So which is my favorite city out of the hundreds? The one you're in. But I'll put it this way. If you're with, because travel, you know this, there's adventure, and then there's relaxation, and then there's education. Mm. Those three arenas don't always mix. You go to the Caribbean, you're going to relax. You're probably not interested too much in history. If you're in the Caribbean, you're just wanting to relax. If you want, all of Europe is beautiful, but it's historical. And then there are places where you're just, it's an adventure. Like you go to Africa because you just don't know what's going to happen. It's survival still, even when you're traveling. So I if I'm with somebody I love, Martha's Vineyard, Victoria, any place in Europe. Any place in Europe's good. Except for I was in St. Petersburg. It was 20 below zero, not lover's paradise, but an adventure.
Golly, no.
Definite adventure.
Right. That's...
if you want an adventure, Kenya and going, just the process of getting to a place where you can see the animals, it's an adventure. Your car could break down. You could be stuck on the highway. I mean, everything could go wrong. And I tell people, if you're going to travel, you better be okay with, and you guys would know this as good as, here's your plan and here's what you did. And they don't look the same at all. And if you're okay with that in travel, you'll have a good time. But if you really need to have happen what's on your agenda, you'll be so frustrated while you're out there. And I've learned that. And so it all depends on who I'm with. That was my favorite place. But if I could go in, any place in Canada, by the way, is always beautiful in the summer.
I agree with that.
Canada is amazing.
Have you been like all the way north, like the Yukon and that kind of thing?
Churchill. Yeah. Go to Churchill. See the polar bears. Churchill. It's an adventure.
That's a dream. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We'll do.
Well, we'll do that.
I want to see a polar bear.
We'll hop in the car and go.
Yeah, they come right up to these big vehicles, and they're about 5 feet away from you, and you're like, just one bad move, and I'm a meal. So.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
I've heard those things are really aggressive.
Aggressive,
I guess is that
yeah.
a word?
I've heard they're
dangerous. If you go out and travel for the purpose of seeing animals in the wild, and Alaska offers that, and all of Africa, you can see an animal in a zoo, and you're like, oh, that's nice. It's a total different experience when you're out in the wild. It doesn't matter what animal you see in the wild.
I agree with that.
It is like seeing the Grand Canyon versus seeing a photo of the Grand Canyon. It's spiritual is the only way I can describe it. And I'll bet you guys could attest to that. Seeing it, reading about it, or seeing a photo, it's spiritual. It's physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is for sure.
Yeah. There's something about being there in real life, you know, just
all
that,
the senses
that energy.
Working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about that. Working.
You've been to the Grand Canyon, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the most awe-inspiring, hard to comprehend moments, because it's a photo does it no justice. You have to stand there and feel your smallness, and it's a feeling. You can't get that from a photograph. So when you talk about travel, to take that feeling and put it into a painting, it's hard. I try. It'll never be the exactly what I want it to be, but as close as I can get. But that's what I'm trying to capture, really.
Yeah. So, like, you go to these places, you paint, you create these pieces of artwork, and then for a lot of them, you put them like in a puzzle format, and you have like you have this physical element of using your art. Why did you do that? Like, what was the thought process of, you know, like, hey, I'm going to paint this and now I'm going to make it a puzzle and people can actually look at it and play with it? Like, what was going through your head when you decided to do that?
Okay, I'm
going to
try and make this in 15 floors on the elevator. Because it's a bit of a story, but here's, I mean, every artist or chef or what you're doing is your podcast, the more people you can share it with, the better. So an artist wants to create something that as many people as possible can enjoy. So the whole puzzle thing was an accident. I'd like to say it was a plan, but nobody goes to art school and goes puzzles. That's where it's at. And and I didn't either. But one day I was doing a puzzle with a gentleman, and it was the type of person you'd want to get to know. And within 20 minutes, I mean, you let your hair down, you relax, you're getting silly, you're telling stories. And I felt like, man, this guy and I, we're best friends now. It's a great way to get to know people. That was my first experience with the puzzle. And I went, I also realized as we were doing the puzzle, we were talking about all the little things in it. And I didn't know that folk art was such a great venue or great subject for puzzles, but it is perfect in the sense that it has stories, it has contrast, it has all the elements that make for good conversation or good challenge, but keep you engaged. Mm-hmm. Now, translate into the sense that, again, you want people to see your art and enjoy it. In the 1800s, I'm going to go back. Remember Currier and Ives? They were the first ones to introduce art to the masses, where the common person could buy a print of a piece of art. And it was so rare. I mean, again, this is before TV and our entertainment was books for the most part. But you would invite people over to your house, literally, and you'd spend an hour looking at a painting. That's if you can get somebody to do that now, I will give you whatever you ask, because that's just you're going, I don't want to go over and watch a movie with somebody. I mean, it's that amazing. The entertainment was looking at a piece of art for a half hour or an hour. And we walk down the hall, we see a piece of art, we just pass right by. A puzzle is 3 hours to 20 hours of engagement and study and conversation. So it was an accident. I went, you know, for the longest time, I didn't want to be introduced as the puzzle guy. I'm like, I'm an artist. But then I realized for every painting, for every print, 20 hours? That's amazing. So I've since repented and I'm more grateful now for it, because if we sell 2 million puzzles a year, that is millions of hours of engagement.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? I stop sometimes and I go, okay, I'll never complain again. And then somebody around me will say, you should never complain about anything.
That's such an impact.
That's amazing. And you're exactly right. I mean, so personally, we just finished your Costco puzzle.
That was our Christmas week activity.
That was Costco's idea. A good idea, but wow, all the stuff in it. Oh my.
What was so fun about it.
It was
though.
So funny. Like there's like images of people like holding like prescription bottles above their head, like, I got it, you know, or like, you know, you have the big like cases of water or what. It was just the amount of detail that
7,000 pounds of toilet paper.
Yeah. Exactly.
The giant teddy bear, rotisserie chicken.
I kept telling Sarah, I'm like, I've never felt more seen in a Costco puzzle before. I'm like, I relate to this guy right here.
He gets it. You've been to Costco before.
Yeah, actually, if I could take that, what you're talking about in the Costco painting, and make sure I get that into every city, because every city has something like that. You know, if you go to, you know, Boston, there's a feel, you know, you have the baked beans, you have the Oz, you have the attitude. How do you get that into a painting? At those moments, you're like, that feels like Boston, or that feels like Dallas.
Yep.
And you look at Costco and you're like, I had that experience in Costco.
Yeah,
we have other puzzles by you besides just that one. We have a couple of Tennessee ones and you do the same thing in those. Like, it's just, they're so detailed. It's a story where you're working on it and it's all these little pieces and you notice something different almost in every moment that you're putting the puzzle together. So we love it. Like, we got them actually at Tennessee when we lived out in Seattle. Like, we were homesick for the East Coast and the South and we got that one, did it over Christmas, and just, it felt like home.
Well, where are you from?
I'm from Chattanooga. That's where we're at now. It's our home base now.
You're in Chattanooga?
Yeah.
We did a television show in Chattanooga.
Did you really?
Really? You did an episode here?
If it's on YouTube, Painting the Town. Chattanooga is, well, the theme of that show, it went from worst to first. And you know that. It was considered the filthiest city in America. And now it is considered the cleanest. And so to tell that story, now TV or telling a story in a half hour in a television show is interesting, but then translating it to a piece of art, it was one of those shock cities where we're like, who knew that this place was that amazing? Because where are you going to summer this year? Well, Chattanooga, of course. That may not have been said by too many people, but we were blown away. It is beautiful. The river is awesome. The aquarium is unbelievable. Your tow truck museum, all of that. Yeah.
Chattanooga. The tow truck museum.
I love that you know about that.
And it's a foodie town. If you want to eat good food, it's there.
It is. Yeah.
And you go up on those cliffs outside of town, the views are spectacular. Yeah. So that's, I'm sorry, I go on off a tangent, but I love Chattanooga. You guys have
it
good?
No, I love it.
No,
we do too.
Just down the road from the Vols. So you have a place to cheer for.
True.
Well, we don't cheer for them, but that's another
thing.
She's
a big Georgia fan. So.
But you don't cheer for them. You got your own school. Oh, yeah. Chattanooga's a big town too. Was it four? Yeah, here's the number. It was like 4 billion in tourism. And did you know that?
Wow.
Wow.
No, I didn't. I know it's grown. It's grown. I mean, every year it grows, it seems like, but I didn't know it was that high.
Little did you know. Well, watch the show and then you can tell me if we did it right or not. And you might.
Well, we will.
We'll learn something new.
Like,
I bet.
Like,
we will.
That's
I will.
Not true. Or that's not good.
No.
The bridges. Those
I'm sure we'll love it. And I love that you like Chattanooga.
The artistic look from the other side of the river with the park and the bridges looking into town. That's the view I did the painting. Because it's really spectacular.
It is a neat little place. I feel like it's still pretty underrated.
Paris, Chattanooga.
Yeah.
It's tight.
So when you go to these cities or places and you find a spot like that, you know, in Chattanooga or, you know, whatever town that you're in, how long do you spend there to paint? Or
I was
like,
going to ask that.
Or like, how long does that process take for you to kind of get the vision?
So in the television show, it looks like a week. I don't have a week. and it also looks like I'm sitting there relaxed, sketching. I don't have time for that either. A lot of photos. I wish I could, and I love to sketch. And so it was nice to do the show because I would take the time to take it all in. But I 2 days, 3 days tops. And it's a whirlwind. I have the right to remain silent, but not the ability. So anybody who's in earshot, I'm going to ask them questions. I want to know why they're there. If they're local, give me some insight. And before I know it, I'm standing somewhere unique, different, interesting, or I'm getting a story that is going to end up in the painting that's fun. You mentioned Seattle.
Yeah.
You lived in Seattle?
We did for a couple
of
years.
So Seattle was interesting because that was the first. Folk art is kind of an older style. It's more nostalgic, the good old days. And so somebody wanted me to paint Seattle, and how do you paint Seattle without the Space Needle? And by doing that, it was the first of all of the paintings I've done since where modern folk art for me started. Everything else had to have a horse and a wagon and or a 1930s car or something that was a day gone by. But, you know, when you travel, I want it to have the good old days in it, but I also want to have current. So Seattle was a big, big stepping stone for me to go in there and go, okay, how do you do modern folk art?
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. We need to go get that one now.
I know. Yeah, we need to get that.
Yeah. So the Space Needle did make it though.
So here's what you'll find in the Seattle piece. If you get an old one, so Boeing is there. I had an airplane in the sky and I had a biplane in the sky and they're both like this. And they're flying, and folk art works on two dimensions. So here's downtown in the middle, and this is pre-9/11. So here's a giant Boeing, and it's flying in towards downtown. It looked like it was flying into the buildings in Seattle. So we had to go and change that, flip it around so that the airplane was heading out of town. So when you look at my old New York piece, had the Twin Towers first put in it. We surveyed the people of New York and we said, what do you want? The old or the new? And I found it fascinating that it was almost 65, 70% wanted the new.
Really?
Really?
And Yeah, in that fact, maybe it was a little too painful to see the Twin Towers. It always shocks me when I see them. So I am sensitive to what the people want or think. I'm having my experience, but I listen to other people's experiences and try and keep that in mind when I'm doing a painting. But those are some examples of where those have come up. I'm sure you've had that when you're out there traveling.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, do you go into places with, do you try to keep your opinion of a place or your impression of a place pretty blank in your mind? Like, how do you approach a new place that you've never been before so you can see it with fresh eyes, maybe the way a local sees it versus like your preconceived ideas? Is there something you do to go in there just and see it how it really is?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I want to ask you that question, because I think everybody, goes in with a preconceived idea, and it doesn't matter what you think you're going to see, you're going to leave with a different perspective. Like, I'll be straight with you. I went to Chattanooga and we're all like, what are we doing in Chattanooga? Come on. And then we all left going, Chattanooga all the way. Every city, it doesn't matter what preconceived idea I go in with. I leave with experiences that are unique, that I can never duplicate again. And so that's what stays with you. So when you meet somebody who's been to a place that you've been, this is what I love about what I get to do. They want to tell you so badly about what they personally experienced, and everybody else may have similar events or activities or experiences, but listening to each person talk about theirs is really fun. So doesn't matter what the preconceived idea is, you're going to leave with something else.
That's true.
It is very true. And I feel like for us, it takes a couple of visits sometimes for instance, like we went to Miami and we absolutely hated it. We hated everything about Miami. I'm like, I don't ever want to come here. We were driving in the van. It was just, it felt like
driving, you know, there is a reason enough.
Yeah. To driving, like, but it felt chaotic.
The humidity alone would get me to stay in the van.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, but then we went back a second time and a third time and we found ourselves, I'm like, oh, I really like Miami. I like this part of Miami. I like where this is and all that. And we found just a different part. But if we had just went off that first time, I don't know if we would have ever been back.
I'm glad we were forced to go again.
No, you've nailed it. I believe what you're saying, and I've experienced that several times. Actually, I experienced exactly that in Miami. I don't like the humidity, and we were filming for 1 week down there for The Peacemaker, for Magnolia, and I got out of the van. I'm like, we're going to be here a week. Gee, how lucky can we be? But every day, the variety of storms and sunshine and events and the warmth and the people, after I was done, I'm like, well, I could live in Miami. It was nice.
Yeah, same.
Still don't love the humidity, but everything else, you realize why so many people live there. I'm like, I would still want to be there. Yeah. I had that that conversion, I guess, if you want to say it. But I feel that way just about every town. I'm trying to think of a place I went to. I'm like, I would not want to live there. So maybe, I know where I wouldn't want to live. Any place where I've been to, Africa's hard living. I mean, we're all spoiled here, and they work hard in Africa every darn day. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're in the big city, small town, that's a struggle. But what I do love about Africa is these are some of the best people you ever meet, grateful for everything. They have so little, and everything they have, they are grateful. And so you always leave with something that you put in your pocket and share with somebody later that's great.
Do you always have a conversation to have with somebody? You've been to so many different places that I feel like, even with us in this conversation, you were like, oh, I know Chattanooga. Like, I know that place. I've been there. So is that just a connection point for you now when you're talking with people? Be like, you can easily understand where they're coming from, or, you know, just something to relate to them?
So it's a great question, because, we need things that connect us to each other. We're all so different, and plenty of diversity out there. So find common ground, and usually a place or an activity or an event is common ground. Like if you like a musical group, and he likes a musical group, you have something in common. That's great discovery. And it's such camaraderie. If you watch Guy Fieri in Diners, Dive-Ins, and What Dives, whatever that show is. You find yourself wanting him to like their food and them, and you like them liking him. And that's really the basics of it. You like two people that find respect and joy in what each other do. And you're like, I love this show. Mm-hmm. And that's, people don't, they miss really what makes the show, and that's what it is. Yeah, the food's good, but everybody likes this cool guy to like this person who's out in the middle of nowhere making food. And that person likes Guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the show. So you get an elevator and somebody goes, I love Barbados. You're like, I love Barbados. Well, what'd you do when you were there? Well, I went down to the beach and I got stung by a jellyfish. And before I know, I got stung by a jellyfish. I don't know, whatever. You find common ground. Yeah. And it's so easy. So
yeah.
That's what I love about that. Yeah.
All right. Not to switch gears a little bit.
But let's do it.
No, I've got a, well, I've got a bone to pick with you. And I wanted to ask.
I never know where he's going.
I have lots of children. I'm from big family. Pick away. We're used to this.
Do you have, are you the one in charge of the puzzle sizes or the shapes? Like when you're making the puzzle, or how does that work? Because there are some like weird puzzle pieces.
I love that.
Okay, so there's times when I put a puzzle together and like a line will go through somebody's head or something will be an anomaly and it just happens. And I, before I made puzzles, I'm like, they did that on purpose, I'm sure. And so I'd like to say that is true. It's more random. So what, in the process of making puzzles, I'll give you a quick 25-year history. I think it's 25. Ooh, it's almost 27 years. Wow. Anyhow, the first puzzles I made were local in the country, and they had like five different shapes, five different, okay? And it's pretty clear that you want variety when you're doing a puzzle. Then we went overseas and every puzzle piece was the same. I mean, you could interchange the puzzle pieces. And I'm like, this is terrible. We can't have this, okay? And that was in a country where that philosophy was common in all parts of their life. Like in America, we like unique difference. You know, we like variety. And so I like different shapes, but some people don't like, people like the traditional nubbins that you can put in. That's why I call them the nubbins. I don't know if that's technically correct, but yeah, they all need to have some nuances because nothing's worse than getting done. And you're like, this piece could go here. Or this would go there. No, they want to move around. So I've put a lot of time and energy into making sure the pieces are unique. Every now and then we'll make different shaped puzzles that are, you know, the traditionalists will go, no thanks. And then other people will go, well, this is fun. The people will cut out shapes like and put it into a puzzle. And like I said, traditionalists will go, don't, no. Give me my puzzle that looks like a puzzle. Yeah. So, can't keep everybody happy.
That's right. That's true.
But yes, the size of the puzzle and the shape and all that. When I paint them, I'm thinking puzzle often. How I move subject matter around is, I think, puzzle. If I'm doing a big sky, I try and gradate it so that dark to light or light to dark. So when you're doing a puzzle, you have an idea where to go. If there's too much of one thing, I'll throw a seagull in there. I'll throw a seagull in because it's cool, but it also helps for the puzzle.
I'm like, going to look for that now.
I'm going to look for a seagull now and be like, that's his hint. That's his hint right there. He's dropping me
he's
a hint.
He's trying to help us.
Yeah, he's trying to help us.
Yeah, so. That is true. I'm like, even the clouds, I'll gradate the clouds because I'm like, oh, those can be, this can, where does this go? I don't mind people having a moment where they're like, let's figure this out. But I don't want them to get up and leave because they're too frustrated either.
Yeah.
No, I think your puzzles are a good balance of that. Mm-hmm. They, yeah. Love them. So where should we go from here?
Well, let's,
I want to ask,
what do you want to ask?
I want to ask what's next for you. Like where, what, well, yeah, is that well, okay to go there?
Well, let's talk about his like TV show.
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah. Because that is a good segue into from puzzling to a show about puzzles, but it's really about travel
it
and
is,
connection
story.
With
yeah,
people. And so
that's what we love.
Yeah.
About
the
it.
Peacemaker is interesting because they were trying to capitalize on the puzzle moment that COVID provided for everybody. Because, and a lot of people felt like we were behind COVID because How do I get people to do our incredible boring activity? Oh, by eliminating all other activities. And so, yeah, big puzzle was behind the pandemic. But what it did do, it introduced a simpler time and simpler moment for that. But because of that, the television networks are like, hey, maybe there's something here in the puzzle arena. And you brought up a good point because you're like, it's really a travel show. I enjoyed doing Painting the Town. It was definitely more travel oriented and people oriented. The Peacemaker, based on the word piece, puzzle piece, because I'm no peacemaker, but puzzle pieces is what they were going with. We got caught in no man's land, I believe, in that show. The creativity of making a painting that's going to be turned into a puzzle, that's all good. But in the end, you got to show off a really great place. And so as fun as the show is, or as good as that some people think the show is, I believe we missed the mark on that one. I don't decide what the show is on that. So the network decides that. Mm. So if you run your own business and paint your own paintings and do what you guys do, you do like to control what you do. It was a different experience working for somebody else, and their ideas may not be your ideas. And so, yeah, doing the show and trying to steer it through travel and end up doing a puzzle it's never been done before, and there might be a reason. I wish we'd have stayed more in the travel arena because that's what people like. And I would love to show off what other people do. If I were ever do a show again, it'd be more like something that Anthony Bourdain would do, where I want to show off. I would go visit you guys and I want to show you off. And I do that in the show, but then I take what they do and I put it into my painting. And in the end, I'm showing off what I do. And that's too self-aggrandizing. I think it's more fun showing off what other people do. People know what I do. That's great. Congratulations. Let me show the process of art in other people's lives. That's really what I want to do in a certain place. So go to Italy, go to Florence, and here's art in Florence. And here's this person, this person, this person. Here's what they do. Isn't that cool? That is amazing. And let's celebrate what they do. And then on to the next show. But it's art. And maybe you show, a painting I did of Florence, but really, that would be better. But it was fun doing it. I loved working with the network on that particular show. We did, I think, 13 shows. I think 13? No, 8.
Wow.
There's 8. 8 shows.
Okay.
And it's on HBO Max.
Wow. That's great.
HBO Max and Magnolia. They may pick it up. We might do another season. Who knows? But right now it's called hiatus, or whatever you want to call it, while we do some other things. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about the America 250, America's Turning 250. I want to do a show called Land That I Love. That's where my real love is. Yeah. I've been talking about it for 18 years. I looked on the calendar. I saw 250. That's when America is having its birthday. Let's have some fun. And where you guys travel and do different things, that's kind of what I'm looking to do with America.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be watching for that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that one.
Can you explain a little bit more about that? Like kind of your vision behind that?
Yeah. I'll give you a really crazy story on it. So 2016, Barack Obama or his administration put out a letter to all the municipalities and mayors and governors and different organizations, government organizations, said, hey, listen, America's turning 250 in 10 years. Send in your ideas. Let everybody know what you think we should do. And in 2018, we'll go to the mailbox and we'll open it up and look at all the ideas and we'll see what comes back. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to do I want to paint all these different cities in America. I want to tell their story. I want to do a documentary called Land That I Love. And I want to unveil these huge wall puzzles where people can go and take their picture next to it or whatever. I had that all laid out, sent it in, and they called me up. Because when they went to the mailbox in 2018 in April, we had the only suggestion in the whole country.
You're kidding.
Really?
We were the only ones that sent in an idea. So they invited us out there to talk to them about it. And again, this is other administrations ago. And so it's a whole different administration now and a different organization now. And they've got, it's 2 years away now. So they're gearing up, but I've been gearing up for this a long time. So Land That I Love, that you asked the question. So that's the genesis of it. They did ask me, they're like, well, help us get America ready for its birthday. So we've been talking about it for forever. And right now we go into cities, we do a painting of their town, and then we make a puzzle for the city to sell so that they can celebrate their city. And we do a big unveiling, we bring in entertainment, and then they come up and they put their piece into the puzzle, the giant wall puzzle. Some of this stuff's going to come out a little bit more online and on YouTube to show some of the activities and how we do it. But the big moment is to go around and in my Volkswagen bus, all 50 states, and you know, see the land that I love, celebrate it. I'll do some drawings and some paintings along the way, but I'll be celebrating how freedom equals creativity. That's what makes us great as a nation. We create, and not just in art. You know, if we have a problem, creativity fixes things. And that creative process. So why do we take art class in school, or why do we sit and just use our imaginations? Because that critical thinking solves problems in everything, marriages, work. Right now with the political climate, we could use some creativity. And that's really, if you look at America's problems, we fix them. That's what makes America great. Sure, we have problems. We have people from all over the world with different opinions, and we sit down, we listen to them, and we try and fix it. That's beautiful. That's our country in a really simplified form, but it's what we're trying to make happen. So that's my message as we go out and do land that I love. Freedom equals creativity.
And I love the idea of the bus, because you get to travel a lot slower across America, which is one thing we love, is just taking your time. And I know that thing cannot go that fast.
Yeah, I want to see the in-between week of you driving from here to Alaska.
Like, oh, yeah.
Hey, can I run ahead and tell them we'll be there in an hour? That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, you can be in a Volkswagen bus.
Oh, it'd be so worth it.
Or a Lamborghini, and the Volkswagen bus will get more attention. It is interesting.
Oh yeah. 100%.
People will be so interested in it. What color is it?
It's actually in a lot of my paintings. It's blue on the bottom and yellow on the top.
Okay.
Okay.
If you look through the paintings, you'll see that. Yep. In fact, in the Chattanooga painting, it's right in between the two bridges. So I've been painting it for years to get ready for this tour.
That's amazing.
So cool.
That's amazing.
Oh, I'm so excited to be watching this. So it's going to be on YouTube. When are you going to start rolling out more of that? I mean, is there like the 250... birthday celebration, is it going to be like, are you starting it now, rolling it out?
I've been amping up
for so long.
Good question, because we keep thinking we're ready and we're working out all the bugs, because you fail on stage. And that's, I've done that many times. we've done like 10 different cities so far, but our first real big one is going to be in South Jordan. It's local here in Utah where I live. But then we're heading out to a place called Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Small towns are getting involved. That's what's kind of fun. Butte, Montana.
That's cool.
And the smaller towns are a little bit, you know, Chicago, they're like, well, we've done a billion shows about us, you know. It's the small towns that really do want to show themselves off. And like Butte, Montana, who knew that they got electricity before New York City? It's that kind of stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, we've been there.
So when you're filming, the I had no idea moments are important. And I love
that's amazing.
Depicting that in the painting. So with that. So yes, when the first rollout will be in June of this year, where people start to see.
Okay.
And 2 years of that, it will be what we do. Wow. I hope that's we're amazing. Ready.
I'm excited for that.
We hope we're ready.
Yeah.
Oh, you will. It'll be worth it. Yeah. It'll be so good.
Yeah.
This has been so fun.
Yeah. So if people wanted to follow along, or they wanted to purchase your artwork or do a puzzle, how can people follow you and all your journeys?
So we're launching a new website that'll hopefully be a little more personal. When you grow, sometimes there's breakups and different people want to do different things. And that's typical business. And we've gone through that. So in the next little bit, the dowdlestudios.com, that's me. Anything that doesn't have Dowdle Studios, that's somebody either trying to be me or talking about me, but it's not me. They don't represent me. Dowdle Studios is me. So if they want to go and buy my art and puzzles, And that's just about ready to launch here in the next week or two. They'll be able to buy all of that at Dattle Studios. Right now you can get it at other places, right. But how those other places got my art is up for debate. And so we're working on, we're simplifying everything at Dattle Studios. So that's me.
Gotcha.
Cool.
So there you go.
It should be live by the time this episode comes out then. So yeah. We'll be sure to link everything down below so people can find you, follow along, and then celebrate America's 250th birthday with you.
Yeah.
This has been so fun. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, yeah, to be on with your show and to talk about, you know, I like doing what you're doing. So thank you. And I love to see if I could possibly share something about somebody else in my job. It's very fulfilling. So I hope this works for you. I'm very grateful to be on your show.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. You. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.